You can't institutionalize leadership. I'll explain on this edition of Key Life.
You kind of get tired of doctrine without application, religion without reality, and cliches without truth? If so, you've come to the right place. The place, Key Life. The teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Judges as we continue with our Old Testament survey. And we've spent considerable time talking about some introductory and basic material to the book of Judges, who wrote it and when it was written and what it said. What we're doing now is we're looking at some of the major themes in the book of Judges. And if you've listened to the last couple of days, we've seen that a major theme here, and indeed throughout the entire Old Testament, is an idea or a philosophy of history that is a biblical philosophy of history. We look particularly at Judges 2:11 through 12, and Judges 2:14 through 15, and Judges 2:18. We saw that in its simplest form, the philosophy of history is prosperity is caused by obedience, adversity is caused by disobedience. And we saw how that's the way the world works. A good example of that is, you know, some people are always saying, God is getting all those homosexuals because he's giving them AIDS, man, wiping them out because of their sin. No, they don't say that. Have you ever held a baby with AIDS? Have you ever walked through a hospital? Have you ever been with people who are suffering? That's a horrible thing. And God doesn't look down and say, you sinner, I'm going to get you. I'm going to give you AIDS. Are you crazy? That's not the God of the Bible. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that way. If we got a direct judgment correlated with our particular sin, friend, you'd be dead by now. In fact, I'd be the only one still around. You believe that? You believe anything? But what has happened? Because of promiscuity, because of a disobedience to God's lifestyle, there are bad things that happen. It isn't because God says, I'm going to get you. It's because that's the way the world works. And so the great thing about the Bible is the Bible tells us the way the world works. It's the same way if you jump off a building. You're going to cause a mess on the sidewalk. Now, that isn't because God is particularly angry with you or you're a worse sinner than anybody else. It just means that the law of gravity is the way the thing works, and that's the way God's laws work. And then I took some time yesterday to read you some dynamite material from the diary of George Washington. And if I knew Canadian history, I could give you exactly the same thing. We have a basic way of doing it God's way. Declaration of Independence bows before nature's God. And insofar as we separate that from the reality of who we are, and everybody does his or her own thing, and we say, it doesn't matter what you do, have a good time, we're free, then we're going to hurt our nation. We're going to hurt our families. We're going to hurt our schools. And if I were an atheist, I'd say exactly what I just said to you. Because, see, they steal atheist cars, too. And they mug atheists, too. But that's the divine philosophy of history that you find particularly in the book of Judges, that you find throughout the entire Old Testament. Now, let me give you a second theme that you find in the book of Judges, and this is so clear, it's just everywhere. The book of Judges not only gives a philosophy of history, but it also gives us a doctrine of leadership. Judges 2:16. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the power of those who plundered them. First, you ought to see there the significance of one person. We have, and I'm going to let you in on the background of what we're doing. Frankly, I don't know who the President of the United States is. I'm recording this in the studio when they're deciding that in the courts and the legislature of our nation, right? And this election that we're in, not when you're listening to this, but when I'm recording this, is this weird or what? I want you to know it's really close. And I don't think anybody in this country can say it doesn't matter anymore how I vote, because it really does matter. And shame on you if you said, they're going to do what they're going to do. My vote doesn't make any difference. I don't count. You count the significance of one person. I only apply that a little bit in terms of just leadership. I was talking to some friends not too long ago about the idea of the church being a servant rather than a judge. Too often we in a church are seen as the people who are going to fix everything and make everybody like us. And that's not what we're called to be. If you read John 13, Jesus told his disciples, he said, this was after he washed their feet, do you see what I just did to you? Now you're supposed to do that for everybody else. We are called to be servants. Paul uses that word often as a bondservant in the New Testament. We're called to be servants. So we're sitting around saying, how do you do that? I mean, how do you get those of us who are Christians, and I want you to know I'm more political than most people. I have strong opinionated convictions about almost everything. But the church is called to be a servant. We're called to be a servant to the world, a servant to each other. How do you get that to happen? And somebody, when we were sitting around talking about it, said, well, you got to put it in our materials. You got to kind of institutionalize it. You kind of make it a part of the mission statement. You really internalize it by teaching it over and over again. And I guess there's something to be said by that. But somebody else said this. No, you don't. You got to live it. You can't institutionalize leadership. And so what you have to do is that some leaders have to, instead of taking the high seat of appreciating the accolades of the crowds, the leaders have got to become just servants. I remember a young man in a high school where I grew up. That's been 1,000 years ago. His name was Bob Matheson. I had no idea whatever happened to him. But I remember he had a walk that was so clear and so good that he affected everybody who was around him. You know something? You can affect everybody who's around you. Because, you see, there is a lot of significance in one person. Let me tell you something. Anything God does starts with one man or one woman. Doesn't start with a committee. That's a group of the incompetent to decide the unnecessary. My friend John DeBrunk says, anything God does, he always starts with one person. But there's more to this idea or doctrine of leadership in the book of Judges. Secondly, you ought to note the significance of one man or one woman if that is God's man or God's woman. Notice in that 16th verse, God raised up the judges. Ben Hayden said, and I said myself, God, I'm not a good man, but I am your man. I want you to know, I have seen incompetent, weak, shallow, superficial people be used in an amazing way by God, simply because they were raised up by God. This morning I spoke at a military prayer breakfast in our area. There are a lot of guys in uniforms and women in uniforms, and they were up at 7 o'clock, and we had donuts and coffee, and then they had a gospel choir, and I had just a great time. And the guy that asked me to do it, and that goes through a system here at Key Life, and it got to me, but he wrote these letters, and he said, we're so much looking forward to it. We're so much looking forward to Steve's coming, and he gave me an introduction that I didn't even have to talk. I just had to stand there, and people would have gotten saved. I always like those introductions that are never true, but they're really laudable. But at any rate, at the end of the prayer breakfast this morning after I had taught, he said, I'm praying for this prayer breakfast. And he got emotional. He almost started crying. And I realized, you know, God has raised up this man for this time for these people. And it's going to be incredible, the effect of those Christians and those believers meeting once a month in that place. Don't sit around and say, I'm just one person. I can't do anything. If God tells you to do something, even if you're incompetent in doing it, do it. God will honor it. And then there's one other thing you ought to see as we're talking about leadership is the significance of God's man or woman when that man or that woman is willing to give the credit. Now, I'm going to talk, I may talk a little bit more about it later, but in Judges 7, there's this incredible story of Gideon, and they're living in the caves, God's people, and the Midianites are scary and big and massive, and they're going to do them in. Now, the Jews had about 32,000 people, and that wasn't nearly enough. And God said, I want you to send everybody home who wants to go home. And Gideon said, this is in the Hebrew, say what? Have you noticed that army? And God said, ask. And so 22,000 went home. You read this in the 7th chapter of Judges. And then he said, I want everybody to go get a drink out of this puddle over here, this spring. And everybody who sticks his head into the water, I want you to send him home. And you know, only 300 were left. And Gideon said, God, what are you, crazy? We can't do this. And God said, go. And you know what God did? God conquered the Midianites. And who got the credit? Gideon? Are you kidding? The armies of Israel? There weren't enough. Who got the credit? God got the credit. And after all, that's why we're here. Paul in the Newer Testament put it in a different way, but it's the same principle of leadership. We have this treasure, he said, in earthen vessels, cracked, dirty, so God gets praise. You think about that. Amen. Listen, if you haven't received our magazine, I'd love to send it to you. It comes out quarterly, and it always has an article by me. And if you don't like that one, we always have a piece by somebody else. There is a question and answer column. There's a devotional. My itinerary is there. And there are a whole lot of great resources in the magazine to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. And it is a public relations piece for Key Life, too. But that's not all it is. We decided early on in this ministry that anything we send out would have ministry value. And this does. If you'd like it, let us know. You can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. Or you can write Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or in Canada, Key Life Canada Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And if you can help us financially, include a contribution in your envelope. If you can't, that's fine. Most people can. Or you can charge it on your MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. You can do that over the phone or whatever. But if you can, be generous as you can. So this is an extensive ministry. And for any contribution of any size when you request it is my thank you, I'll send you the cassette teaching, What About the Past. Gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.